Colin, welcome back to the Below the Rim podcast. Jacob Leib here. I'm your host. Got the rest of the starting five per usual with me. Alex, Brian, Ian, Michael. How we all doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Ian, can we get the mic out?
Yeah, whisper something.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me? All
right, okay, stop. I can't do anymore.
Actually, I'll use my NPR voice for my intro story of the week. So, like, my fiance is obsessed with this.
I need to turn the volume down. Hold on. All right. All right, now you're good.
Where should I start from?
From the top.
So, my fiance is absolutely obsessed with this healthcare murder, and I'm actually a little bit concerned that I might be her first victim when she turns into a hit woman. We were on the couch the other day, and we're just like watching a movie, doing nothing, and then she pauses the movie and she goes, "Ian, what's a silencer?" And I just started packing because I'm scared. I'm scared to be in my own home. I haven't left this room since then.
You always have a place to stay if you need one.
The good news is we have at least 7 other people outside of the 5 of us who will be a witness to the potential murder. So, you know, you got all 12 of our devoted fans to cover for you.
That's good.
We got up to 12?
Dude, we can do some analytics on the pod, but the message is reaching people. The message is reaching
wow.
people.
Frisbee.
Speaking of reaching people, as you know, we can't speak to start the pod. We're off to a resounding start here. Got some really cool topics today. Actually, kind of been looking forward to getting the group together to talk. You know, have a nice little natural break with the NBA in-season tournament. Got only one game tonight that was not super appetizing, but then we get to sink our teeth into the juiciness of the next 2 days of the kind of quarterfinal single elimination round. But I think it's a good time for us to take stock a little bit of the season to date. We'll go through it in a couple of different ways up front. First, you know, want to say and focus on things that, you know, we can stop the clock and say these things are real, right? We're 25-ish games in. That's more than a quarter of the way through. And we see some things that are significant trends, and I think it's kind of a good opportunity for us to take stock of those. And then flip the coin and just talk about things we've liked by a specific player, right? Things that really have brought us some joy in the dark days of winter and give some flowers to people that deserve it. Then we'll let our... you know, our point guard hop on the soapbox and Brian give his rant and rave. You know, we'll let his topic be a bit of a surprise, but excited to introduce the soapbox as a recurring weekly segment. You know, think we'll start with the starting five, but, you know, I think we'll get maybe a sixth man coming off the bench and hop on the soapbox as well and share some thoughts in the future. So if listeners are interested, feel free to reach out to the team to get in line to hop on the soapbox. And then from there, we're going to talk a little bit about the bench and guys that have been contributing off the bench so far this year. So, got a great pod in store. And with that, let's jump right into it. I think we've seen some really cool things this year, and some things that are surprising, and things that we think are going to be, you know, real things as we progress. So, maybe Al, you want to start off and hit us with what's been your observation of something that might be sticking through the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Houston Rockets today. I want to start with a quick group activity. If everyone could, when I say this question, just think of the first name or the first team in your basketball watching history that comes to mind. The question is a team in the regular season that has a ton of success and then can't do it in the playoffs.
Atlanta Hawks. From, like, the Joe Johnson, Josh Smith years.
Yeah, okay. Coach Bud, Atlanta Hawks. Michael?
Ooh, I got to think of this one. Have the Cavs been really good the past couple of years in the regular season? Haven't done much in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I like
the
Donovan Mitchell. I mean, obviously right now they're fantastic, but I feel like this group has been good for a little bit, and they haven't had much success. That's just off the top of my head.
I was going to make a joke and say this year's Cleveland Cavaliers. but no, I think there were some of those Utah teams too. Thinking about Donovan Mitchell, those Gobert Mitchell teams. I think they were always good in the regular season. Never made a ton of noise in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. The grit and grind Grizzlies of the early tens, mid tens, Z-Bo and Marcus Gasol.
That's a good answer. Okay.
Those were fun teams.
Oh, maybe the Clippers. I take back what I said. The Clippers with
that's a good answer. Yeah,
Blake and CP3 and my boy JJ Redick. Don't forget about him.
Yeah. Those are good choices. My head was where what you said, Ian. I was going with the Coach Bud Atlanta Hawks, but I'm gonna kind of zag off what you were looking for, Jacob. I think this Houston team is fake. I think they're a prime try really hard in the regular season, win a bunch of games, and not succeed in the playoffs team. I think their defense is fantastic. They have a lot of young athletic guys. They're currently a top five defense. Offensive rating is in the 20s. They have very little outside shooting. And I don't think they have a top-notch primary scorer that they could really rely on in the playoffs. And so I think they're going to finish as like a they're going to get into the playoffs. So they're going to be a top six seed, avoid the play-in. But I think they're a first-round exit.
So I'm glad we made it through one topic without getting off segment. Good work, team.
we're locked
so
in.
So maybe let me reposition it for you. Is it fair to say it's fair that they're going to be a great regular season team, but it's also fair that we think they need to make a move to really vault themselves in the top echelon of contention in the Western Conference?
Yeah, and they have the assets to make that trade, so I don't think they're far from it. I could see next season being a year where they make a big leap because they have the coach in place.
Yeah.
Ime's fantastic, works them hard, and they have a ton of draft picks and a lot of athletic mid-level guys that you could get rid of for an elite scorer.
If you were the GM, who's the guy you're going after?
I think Reed Shepard could be the guy. I think he'd be the guy.
You love a little point guard. I mean, if the Kevin Durant news in the offseason was at all real, I think moving on that would be a good move.
I think Houston, they have too many, like, we were talking about this some other time. I think they have to develop some young talent. Like, I don't see that team acquiring a veteran and making all those pieces work, personally, unless they're shipping out a ton of young pieces. But, I mean, maybe that's what it takes.
Well, they could
maybe
be the Thunder.
Maybe it's a Reed Shepard, Durant one for one.
No, that seems like a logical trade, Brian. But I do think that the Thunder, they have been patient. And I don't know about the Rockets, their draft picks, because I know the Thunder have 100 picks for the next five seasons. So I'm not sure on that the top of my head, but I do think that, Alex, to your point, I agree with you. I think they have so many guys who are awesome, great pieces, but they don't have that top guy. And I kind of hope they prove me wrong at some point, but not this season.
I think
the guy you'd like to see them get?
Yeah, I think the guy that gets my juices flowing a little bit is Jimmy Butler. That to me feels like the natural, if there was a move this year type move, maybe like Jabari and Dylan Brooks and a pick for Jimmy Butler. And I think the Heat, I know we'll get to some of these guys later, I think the Heat have something in Tyler Hero who's really developing into a really exceeding my personal expectations in terms of his kind of shooting creation ability, right? I think pairing him with a stretch big next to Bam could be really interesting. But again, that would be my guy if I was hoping for one.
Bam sucks though, right? Bam's awful.
I think Bam with Jimmy next to him playing the pseudo four is not great, but a guy that could be a floor spacer that could allow Bam to play his role better. I get, you know, a little bit excited. Not fully excited, but just a little bit, you know?
Just that would be interesting.
I also think Jimmy's mentality, he's going to make everybody... You can't not work hard.
He fits in that mold. He fits in that mold. And speaking of maybe molds that don't fit at all, Brian, 76ers, is the mold broken? are we in pieces? Is it shattered?
I just gotta have one plug real quick for Jimmy Butler. If you want to go on YouTube and look up Architectural Digest, he does a tour of his home, which I found entertaining. If anybody else wants that,
I saw that too. The wine cellar, gorgeous.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, how dare you stare Alex's thunder? Architectural Digest, how dare you?
Did you watch it, Alex?
I did watch it. The more it's people that appreciate architecture, the better it is for business. So I appreciate it, Brian.
So the prompt was, we've seen enough. These things are real and important. So my take on our beloved 76ers is I think they are real and I think they are important. I think even though the 76ers right now sitting at 7-15, everyone's ready to bury them. But I'm saying 76ers are headed for the playoffs and they could easily make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I'm looking right now, people are saying, oh, there's whispers, they're going to shut it down, you know, losing all these games, no one's healthy. They just beat the Bulls, which was a huge win. And right now, I think they're only a game and a half out of the play-in game. So I think they're getting healthier. I think Embiid sitting these games, we don't know exactly what's going on. I think he's just fluffing. I think he's just trying to sit games to be healthy later in the year. I'm all for it. I think you can't name me a better big three if those three guys are all healthy. Embiid, Paul PG, and Maxi. Like, I love it. If you line up and turn them around, Embiid, Yabusele, and Kyle Lowry, like, no one's gonna, you know, no one's gonna be able to compete with that. So,
there's no room. The court is not big enough.
There's literally no room. Like you talk about building the wall for Giannis, like, that would literally go end line to end line.
So China would be jealous. Great Wall 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. No, but in all seriousness, like, I think they do have the pieces to make a run, and I think anyone else besides Boston, I think you line up Philly against anyone and they can beat them in a 7-game series. So that's my thought. Don't bury him yet.
I just couldn't disagree with anything more. But
we never disagree.
I actually think that there's a real chance they don't even make the play-in game.
Mm-mm.
And the East is that bad. Like, they might finish.
You want to make?
No, I don't want
to. I'll bet on that.
But like, I feel like if you thought of the permutation of outcomes, it's a 50% chance, 60% chance they're in the play-in game. And, like, sure. I'm inclined to go left tail and they underachieve that. But I'm not going to argue, considering the teams that are battling them are the Bulls, the Raptors, the Hawks, and the Pacers, right?
Yeah,
so, like, I think it's more of an indication on who they're playing. If they were in the West, I think they would be the second worst team in the West.
If they were in the West, it'd be a completely different story. I think in the East, they, like, are shoo-in to make the playoffs. And if they're in the playoffs healthy, which, like, the way they're managing Embiid's load, which I think it's a real possibility, don't bury him yet. You heard it here first.
One thing that I find pretty interesting about what Brian said is the big three piece of it. When Embiid plays, Maxi is so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, it's my GM.
Come on. So unprofessional.
So when we're going to go on silent from here on out. Sorry, Mr. Melvin. My father is listening really closely right now. When Embiid plays, Maxi is substantially better, but they don't play on the floor at the same time very often. So, like, Embiid has only played 158 minutes this year. Brian, do you have a guess at how many of those minutes Maxi's on the floor for?
Embiid's played 158 minutes.
Yep.
Maxi's been on the floor for 80 of those, 90 of those.
Only 48.
Only 48, wow.
So, like, I think I do agree that Maxi is, like, either the second or third best player on that team, but he provides value beyond just getting that big three on the court. I think it allows them to, like, play the kind of basketball they want to play. So,
I think that's a good point. One thing I will say is, if you look at Maxi's splits of shooting percentages, with and without Embiid, they go way up with Embiid. So, like, that team is just, it's just a different team.
Right, but I think it's because he's playing with the second unit more.
Which is fine. I'm sure Embiid draws more attention as well. It's probably both.
Yeah.
If we look at this roster, if every single player, if we had a magic little genie that we could rub in his lamp, and every single player was in their prime, this might be one of the best teams of all time. Kyle Lowry, Andre Drummond, Kelly Oubre Jr., Reggie Jackson, Eric Gordon? What's going on here? Eric Gordon out of Indiana. Unbelievable.
Indiana, shout out. Love that.
Thought he was going to be the best player ever.
Do you guys remember when the Lakers traded for Steve Nash? And it was like Steve Nash, Kobe,
Dwight Howard,
Andrew Bynum, right, was still on that team. And everybody was like, oh, they're going to be great on paper. They're just like, they need to get healthy, and they never got healthy. It's just like, I totally agree. Like, theoretically, it's still an awesome team on paper. I will believe it when they play three consecutive games with the big three. Like, let me see three in a row where the three of them are on
the board together. It won't happen until the playoffs, but it'll happen in the playoffs.
And then we've seen that multiple times. Brooklyn, Harden, Kyrie, Durant. Let's get to the playoffs. Couldn't stay healthy, never materialized, right? Like, every iteration of a big three construct put together midseason since LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, who even still, right, lost their first year. There's always growing pains, and Embiid's too old, and Paul George, or Embiid is too hurt, and Paul George is too old for there to be growing pains at this point. Right? So, like, maybe there's a one-year window, and that's next year. Like, I don't see it. I just can't get there.
That's fair.
But Brian's point is that it's a ceiling argument. It's just a ceiling argument.
Yeah, no, totally. I get the ceiling argument. I think, like, theoretically, I agree. If they get there, their talent, I love Maxi. Like, that's my kind of guy.
See, honestly, I've been wrong on so many draft picks. I really wanted the Bulls to take Maxey in that draft. Just, like, watching him in college at Kentucky, like, he's always a spark plug. Like, he just has that in him. And then hearing nowadays in the NBA everyone say such great things about him in the locker room, he's such a great guy, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, man, I really wish the Bulls took him. But, you know, can't win them all. You know, we can take Justin Patton. Sometimes
I say with the Bulls, can't win them all, can't win any, Brian.
We had a stretch where we had a bunch of good draft picks. Like, we drafted Joakim Noah, we drafted Luol Deng.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about a decade ago. Those were
the time. So it's been a dry spell.
Yeah, it's been a dry spell.
So, speaking of dry spells, I think the NBA Cup is not in one, and my kind of conjecture and take overarchingly is a little bit twofold, but I think it's that the NBA Cup has been kind of an awesome addition, right? Even though I think we collectively have a lot of feedback. I think we created some really interesting and, you know, I would say somewhat compelling games in November and December. And I think, like, if you look at that at face, I found it to be, you know, super exciting. I thought it was awesome to see, you know, I know Knicks Orlando was a little bit of, you know, a winner goes forward type mentality, and the Knicks had to win. And I thought it was awesome to see what that team looked like with a little bit of the back against the wall. You got those awesome clips of Kat backing down, Mo Wagner looking at the raft, barking and pulling up, you know, Jalen Brunson stepping up in big spots. I think we saw, you know, some really impressive wins for the Bucks as well. I think some of it was schedule, but it was nice to see Giannis in, like, a must-win scenario go ahead and drop, you know, 40 in back-to-back group play games. Like, really impressive things from them. And, you know, really looking at what it created from a winner-takes-all type bracket, I think it's just compelling basketball. And even if it's just, like, somewhat heightened regular season games that now leads to an awesome quarterfinal setup in which we get probably three of the top contenders for the championship, right? Obviously we're missing Boston, which that kind of sucks. And some upstarts, right? I really think that's really cool. I also think the other kind of flip side of that coin is there's two teams in here that are kind of party crashers, really three teams that are party crashers. I would say let's take Orlando out because of what they did in the playoffs last year. But I think the Hawks are party crashers, and Alex, as you talked about, the Rockets are party crashers, and I think it's really cool to see how they match up. The Hawks have been another thing that I think, you know, I spoke on Trae Young a bit last week. I think their team holistically has proven that, you know, I'll raise my hand and say I was wrong. The Hornets were not the Pacers of last year. But I think the Hawks really could be. I really think that they are interchangeable. They are long. They play very good defense around maybe one of the worst defensive players in the league in Trae Young, but are able to cover up his weaknesses. Jalen Johnson is one of the most fun players in the NBA. Guy just glides, scores, dunks, passes the ball fluidly. And then the Rockets, Alex, you touched on, right? And I think kind of having that bottom half of the bracket be Rockets, Warriors, right? Like new age Western Conference team versus Steph in the Bay. And then Trae Young at the New York Knicks, returning to MSG, where he's like one of the most hated athletes, right, in New York City. Like that's much watched television. So I think the return or the matchups that we created with a little juice in regular season and then those newcomers coming to the table, I'm buying everything NBA Cup. And yeah, I think we can continue to improve it, but I think we're off to a great start.
I agree. Time to make some picks. I'm going off structure, but feels like we're gonna make some picks.
Should we
here.
Just do it now?
Yeah.
Who we think's gonna win?
Let's do it.
All right.
I could lead us off. I think I like OKC out of the West because, as I mentioned on our first episode, they're the best team of all time. And then I like the Knicks coming out of the East. I like in the in season. I like teams that are going to try extremely hard and play their starters heavy minutes and enjoy playing defense. And I think the Knicks and OKC both fit that bill. And Thibodeau's going to run Josh Hart 48 minutes.
Yeah, at least 48 minutes. He might try to run him out there early.
Sneak some extra. and in that matchup in the finals, I'll take the Knicks.
Bri.
Yeah, I hate to be boring, but I also have OKC coming out of the West. I have them winning the whole thing. I didn't think about who would come out of the East. I thought about it for a second, and I really couldn't make a decision because I'm not sure if Cat is healthy right now. But assuming he is, I'll go with the Atlanta Hawks.
I think he played tonight.
Oh, is he playing right now? He's healthy.
He's playing tonight.
I'll still go with the Atlanta Hawks.
He's playing. I love it. Ian?
Trae Young goes for 50, like you said.
I mean, if there's one thing we know from our history, if we think through the entire history of the NBA Cup, we know that the teams that win are full of veterans who love to win. And so for that reason, I'm going with Giannis putting up a 50-piece Bucks over
you.
Warriors. Give me Giannis versus Curry. Probably not going to see that in the finals. The NBA Finals ever, but give me in the NBA Cup. I think that the Bucks, Dr. Rivers, he wants to win something. He's on a journey to build the morale back for this team. They started, 2-9, something like that, and now they're back to 500. They're, like, headed in a great direction. Chris is back. The Buccaneers, what's their thing? Let's ride. We're riding.
Yeah.
Ride the
fear
deer.
Fear the deer.
Yeah, that's it.
And I couldn't agree more. That was going to be my pick, so I'll just piggyback quickly. I have Bucks over the Rockets. I think it's the exact same formula as last year, right? Lakers over the Pacers, taking Bucks over the Rockets. And I think the Bucks have the exact same fate as the Lakers, where that's the peak of the season, losing the first round. That take exact same model. What do you got, Mike?
Well, I originally was thinking Thunder, but at the just for sake of conversation, the Mavs have won 7 in a row. They're probably the hottest team in the NBA right now. They got star power. They got vets. They've got Luka, Kyrie. If they can beat the Thunder, which I know they can, then I think they're winning the whole thing. And then I do like the Knicks out of the East for all the same reasons that you guys said, especially with Thibs. Tibbs, I mean, watching him as a coach of the Bulls, I He puts out teams that you can just be proud of as fans. I don't care what anybody talks about, loan management, not whatever. The guy wants to win. He lives and breathes basketball. All the guys on their team are shaped by that, and even without him, I think they're all self-disciplined. But I'm going to go with the Mavs again, just because it's really close. I really could not decide between the Thunder and the Mavericks, but I'm going to go with the Mavericks this time to win the whole thing.
Potential Western Conference Finals preview repeat of last year.
Could be.
Would you guys rather watch the All-Star game as it has, I guess they changed it this year, but would you rather watch an NBA All-Star game or a 5-on-5 48-minute game with NBA coaches playing? So like Thibodeau at point in a jersey.
I'd watch the All-Star only Tibbs has to play every minute. Like everyone else gets to come off, but he just gets run till his legs fall off.
He's got to feel it.
He's got no cardio.
Wow.
Does he have a portable oxygen tank with him? How do we handle this?
Just see him huffing and puffing. I think Adam Silver should be the ref of that game if we're going to do that.
Honestly, give me five All-Stars versus five coaches. Like, give me that. But bring him out of retirement, right? So, like, I want, like, Derrick Rose playing against Tibbs. And he, you know, he gets to pick the coach, right, that he wants to go against, you know? Like, that's what I want to see. Timmy Duncan versus Pop, you know?
Oh, God.
We'd literally have guys, like, disintegrating. Like, someone would go to the ER, 100%.
I love it. All right. What's next?
Getting back to real. Ian, you want to take us home on the things that are important that we've seen this year?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a team that, until pretty recently, I was exclusively watching in clip form on YouTube and TikTok and Twitter, or like wherever you get like really short form content, and that's the Memphis Grizzlies. They have just like the best freaking highlights. Like John Morant, obviously walking highlight machine, but also all these guys that are just like would be nobodies on other teams. Santi Aldama, Scottie Pippen Jr. Like they've done this now for a few years. So I dug into their rankings a little bit. Fourth best record in the NBA. Fairly impressive. Especially in the Western Conference. They're number one in the league in points per game. Fourth in field goal percentage. Third in rebounds. Second in assists. I mean, it's like absurd. Obviously, this doesn't account for some of their weaknesses, which is, and this is where the highlights come in, they're super sloppy. They play in transition. They turn the ball over all the time. They play extremely, extremely fast. But on offense, it's like, it's so fun. They're scoring in tons of different ways. They're first in the league in points in the paint. They're top 10 in points off turnovers, second chance points, top 5 in fast break scoring. But I'll keep it brief. The keys to success for them, which I am like amazed by, is the way that they use the rest of their players when Ja Morant's out. Like when Ja is playing, they play their game. And then when Ja's out, they don't try to recreate what Ja Morant does. Like everybody just goes up like 5% instead of trying to let someone else like take over that usage. So if you like look at the usage numbers, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane go up like a couple points, but everyone else just has that incremental like one or two usage points like increase. And I think that allows them to continue to play the style of basketball that they love to play. And I just think it's pretty exciting. I think that they're a legitimate contender, maybe not for the finals, but like to win a playoff series for sure. I think they're really well coached.
Who's the coach of the Grizzlies?
On team.
Who's the coach of the Grizzlies?
Taylor Jenkins.
And has he been there for a while?
Yeah, it's you're 5 or 6.
I feel like, because to your point, that's so true. Like, even for this has been going on for years. Like when Tyus Jones was the backup point guard, it's like when he started, like he'd fit right in. Ja misses games, they go like 12-3, and they just like keep humming along. So I feel like that coaching staff honestly deserves probably more credit than they're getting.
There's a crazy part about it too, going into the year, their sixth and seventh guy were probably going to be Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams, who have not played. Vince Williams played two games before getting re-hurt. Gigi Jackson hasn't played yet. Gigi Jackson is like arguably one of the higher upside younger guys still in the league, right? He was the number one guy out of his high school class before kind of doing nothing in college and going later in the draft. And that's without talking about maybe the most fun player in the entire second unit, which is Jay Huff.
The Magic Dragon.
Yeah. He is an absolute, I mean, he is going to be brought up later. I get so much joy watching somebody that shouldn't be that good at basketball just obliterate second units. He is, fun fact about him, he only dunks backwards. He never dunks forwards. So every dunk that he does is a reverse dunk. He shoots 40% plus from three. And he's wicked putting the ball on the ground. Like, nasty pump fake, dribble drive. Love watching him play. Absolutely.
I feel like the Miami Heat get a lot of credit for player development, or the Spurs, whatever. Maybe we need to throw the Grizzlies in that same, circle.
Couldn't agree more.
Ian, you struck it four. Way to go, Ian. Good job.
How many trivia? How many NBA teams has Jay Huff played on?
I think it's three.
Four. Lakers, Wizards, Nuggets, Grizzlies.
I didn't know he was on the Nuggets. I knew he was on the Lakers and Wizards.
D-League Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean, next Pascal Siakam.
Dude, I think the funny thing about I think it was Chris Vernon who said this, but like he's a Grizzlies, he lives in Memphis, he's like a Grizzlies radio guy, but he's like, they just go and raid the Lakers practice squad and go ahead and then develop those guys. Like, Scottie Pippen Jr. was on the Lakers practice squad, Jay Huff was on the Lakers practice squad, and there's one other one I'm spacing out who it was, but it's funny knowing that the Lakers are like needing guys like Scottie Pippen Jr. and Jay Huff to fill out their depth, and they were in the organization and couldn't develop themselves. So, listen, let's switch gears. Let's do this one a little bit rapid fire. So, why don't we go? Obviously, rapid fire for us is like a minute to 2 minutes. So, no expectations here, right? For a long-winded group like ourselves. But, I think we went a little serious, a little deep. Let's have a little bit of fun. So, just guys that we're getting really good enjoyment out of watching this year, right? So, for me, one of the guys that I just talked about was Jay Huff, right? I think that's a perfect example. You could take that anyway, but there's no expectations of Jay Huff, and every time he's on the TV and doing something fun, I love it, right? So I think we could talk about guys from exceeding expectations, overperforming, guys we just really love. Take it whatever way we want. So maybe, Mike, you want to start us off with who's top of mind for you?
Yeah, well, Jacob, you also kind of led me into it when you talked about Tyler Hero exceeding your expectations, and he has done the same for me. I thought out of school, maybe he'd be like, this guy's going to be a worse version of Jamal Crawford. He'll come off the bench. He'll have 16 points a game, and he'll be kind of an empty bucket getter. I'm wrong with that because he's averaging 24, 5-5 this year on 47, basically 50% from the field, 42 from beyond the arc. The guy's got the most swag ever. His moves are fun. He's quick. He can get to the basket. He can shoot. He stops, and he rises up so quickly. Did I mention he's got swag? That guy is one of the coolest white boys in the NBA, let me tell you. So, big fan. Fun to watch. And I love me a guard. I really do there. I always appreciate the big man in the post, but who get it done. But T Hero. He's my fun player of the week.
Does he do enough in the mid-range to get you going?
Oh, man, we're getting that excited this late at night. So, yes, he does. Because I do think he does kind of – I think more in the playoffs we see that a little more. But I know I've seen him do it so many times where he'll pop a mid-range, and he gets the three different levels of threat on the offensive the end. So the threes, the mid-range, and the hoop, and he's much more of a playmaker than I gave him credit for. So he's exceeding my expectations. I think he's going to keep getting better. That's my guy.
Love it.
We're gonna need to get Michael a cold towelette after that.
Yeah,
I know. I got it.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to get you going.
Keep the camera
like
off.
I mean, like
keep
I did.
The camera
I
off.
Did.
My goodness, Brian.
He's popping a little mid range over there.
Yeah. Speaking of Ian, who's getting you super excited?
Cam Johnson. I watch a lot of the Nets specifically for Cam Johnson because he's on my fantasy team, which is not going to be a recurring segment. We're not talking about our fantasy teams here, but I just want you to know that I'm not like a sociopath.
You just love bad teams.
Yeah, well, I don't want you to think that I'm nuts that I'm like sitting around watching the Nets, but he is always on the court. He literally never comes out of the game. He's been playing through like bum ankle. He like rolls his ankle like in the last minute of the game before a back-to-back and then will play the next night. It's great. Very fun. He's played like 10% of his minutes at center. Like he plays all over the court. And recently they were playing Orlando. They got blown out. But he's just giving absolute buckets to KCP, who I feel like we all agree is like a top tier on the ball defender in the NBA. And I looked it up and KCP has actually guarded Cam Johnson the most of any player in the NBA this year. And Cam Johnson is giving him buckets. I'm correct. He's shooting 70% against KCP as the primary defender. Wow. So I'm pretty impressed by that. Fun player to watch all over the court, plays every position. That team sucks.
They're weirdly exceeding expectations. There's also a trio of teams that on League Pass that always start the first game, and the Nets are one of them.
Yeah.
It's like the Pacers. The Nets, Pacers, Hornets, and Magic. And like I've had way too much of those teams in my life at this point. You know, I feel like we need to flop time zones and just like switch it up. Give me a little bit like Blazers, Kings, Lakers. You know, just let's get weird out here or something. I need something different.
I'm with you.
Brian, who's tickling your fancy?
You know, there's lots of players out there who tickle my fancy, but for right now, I'm going with Mr. Joshua Hart, also known as Jalen Brunson's best friend. I think we forget how undersized he actually is. Like, he flies around pulling down 9 rebounds a game. The dude's 6'4". Like, we applaud, like, Draymond Green for being a rim protector, disruptor, you know, sitting 6'6", 6'7", whatever he is. Josh Hart at 6'4", pulling down, I mean, that's got to be the most rebounds for a wing or a guard in the NBA, I'm just assuming. But he does a little bit of everything. You know, he'll get to the bucket. He's a good team defender. Improved three-point shot, playing 49 minutes a game on the Knicks right now. I think he's thriving, you know. He's had some games where he's popped in the past. Like, he has, I think, a 40-point game. He's had the triple-doubles. But I think people still look at him almost as like a role player, I guess. I think he's a really good player on a really good team and a very valuable piece. You know, we say sometimes that you could plop a guy on any team and he'd have a role and be successful. And I think there's a couple different iterations of Josh Hart you can get. And the one right now, I think they're just squeezing him for all he is. And he's, you know, he's giving them a little bit of everything. So I'm loving Josh Hart right now.
Brian, he's a winning basketball player.
He's a winning basketball player.
I couldn't agree with you anymore. He does literally everything. And if you want to build a championship team, you want Josh Hart on that squad.
Speaking of championship teams, Alex, I think you're infatuated with somebody from the Thunder.
That's right. Jalen Williams is my guy for the All Fun team. As a unit, we all love defense. And when Hartenstein and Chet were both out, they put J Dub at the five, and a guy that can guard 1 through 5 goes super hard all the time. And he really fits the role that's required on OKC. When SGA is on the court, he has no problem being the number two off the ball, cutting. And then when SGA takes his rest, Jalen Williams has no problem being the dominant ball handler, creating his own shots. He loves barking to the OKC crowd and in post-game interviews, which is a good time. And then my last note on Jalen Williams is his hair. Sometimes he goes with the tight cornrows. Other times he goes with the massive retro Ben Wallace fro, but he always keeps it fun. I think, I guess I should kick it over to Brian, who won in eighth grade. He won best hair at Twin Groves. At some point, I think we need Brian to run like a rankings of best hair in the NBA. So what are your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, I love that. I think we throw that on the to-do list. I'm not an expert at Jalen Williams' hairstyles, but I do love the creativity of switching up the hairstyles. And I do respect that a lot. I think Ben Wallace back in the day is something we all aspire to. You could probably grow a family of 25 birds in his hair. So whenever you can do that, you're doing something right.
Amen. Amen.
And if we're talking about... Oh, Alex, continue. I was going to switch it up.
I was just going to say, I think with every fun young player, they're on the rise, and it's good and it's exciting, and we see potential. And anytime they make a mistake, we're like, oh, he's young, there's potential, it's going to get better. And I feel like Jalen Williams is in that last year where he has that leeway, and next year the expectations are going to hit where we're going to want some big time stuff out of him.
That's totally fair. And if we're talking non-basketball related rankings, I think we need to give a who's got the best shoe game.
That's also a good one.
You guys aren't a fan of the going way off topic Mac Hollins, who just doesn't wear shoes, rolling up to his NFL games in Buffalo. So that's a new favorite of mine. He wants to be grounded with the earth, so he just doesn't wear shoes prior to playing.
I guess any way you want to do it.
Not for everybody.
I fully
not for everybody.
You probably want to feel your feet during the game. I guess he probably has a couple hours for his feet to thaw. I mean, I don't know what those trainers are doing, but good for them.
Doing something, that's for sure. All right, I'll take us home. Speaking of switching it up, I had prepped Derek Lively here. I think the things that he does for the Mavs are awesome, but anytime there's a really small person that is over exceeding expectations, I really can't help myself, and I'm gonna have to go with Peyton Pritchard. He's been an absolute flamethrower when any of the starters for the Celtics are out. If there's one out, you know, he's gonna get some run, probably pay 18 to 22 minutes, contribute, knock down a couple of threes. If two of the big four are out, it is much watch television. It's like playing Papa Shop. Anytime he touches the ball, that thing is going up. And he has been, like, incredible in those opportunities. When you look at the Celtics' best seven lineups from an offensive rating perspective, best four-man lineups that have played over 60 minutes together this year, Peyton Pritchard is in all of them. Every single one. Tatum, Pritchard, Luke Kornet, and Hauser is the highest rated offensive lineup in 75 minutes, four man for the Celtics. Obviously, some of them make sense from there, like Brown, Pritchard, and center and Tatum, etc. But the common denominator in all of them is Pritchard. He has been just a blast. And he single-handedly wins games for the Celtics in those nights off, and it's such a luxury to have for a team that clearly is playing for a repeat championship, that you can rest stars and bring somebody off the bench that A, clearly is craving that type of responsibility, wants a ball dominant role, wants a kind of primary scorer role, and it doesn't sacrifice winning, right? It's not like they're throwing Kevin Porter Jr. in that role, right? And all of a sudden, like, whatever hope you had of winning that game, yeah, sure, the guy can do it, but he's not a winning basketball player. He's playing within the confines of the offense. So as kind of a guy who, you know, has been known to come into the game and shoot, you know, chuck after making one shot and then proceed to go 1 for 11, his goes a little bit better than mine does, but I can really relate to that need to just, once one goes down, get a lot out. So for me, I've just loved watching Peyton Pritchard, and I don't like the Celtics winning, but I love that they have that type of guy that they can bring in and kind of give some of that responsibility to.
If I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would have bet Peyton Pritchard to lead the league in like 3-pointers per game or something. Like, I feel like that would have been a nice little bet. I don't know what the odds were on that.
Attempts or makes?
I think
could be both, but I would have gone with makes.
Oh, wow.
Makes per game. But he's, yeah. If you watch him play, like, he does get, occasionally he'll get bullied on the defensive end, but in general, he can hold his own, and he is, like, clearly one of the best shooters in the NBA. Like, the dude's got cojones and just, like, hits everything, so.
He also has a mid-range turnaround when people do try and press him, where he does, like, two hard dribbles, rights, reverse pivot, and it's, like, it's, you'd think it would get blocked, like, 85% of the time, and he always gets it off, and he's got to shoot at least 60 to 65% from that spot. And it's the same move every time, but it's just a nasty, hard two dribbles, right, reverse, pivot, back. And I love to see that, too. Mike, I know that's your language.
I was about to say, who doesn't love a good mid-range? It doesn't have to go straight up. You can go back, right, left, front. Anyway, east, west, north, or south. Mid-range, all day. Let's go. And the worst part, too, Jacob, is when you do make that first shot, we keep passing it to you because you're wide open. And even if you miss, like, six, we'll keep – it's the right basketball play.
Yeah, and it's going to go up, too. Like, you got to know. Like, if it's going to go up every time. It's the right basketball play to go up as well.
Ideally, if I get a lot more boards, though, that way. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Exactly. Stat bad that way. Peyton Pritchard is minus 270 to win sixth man of the year already. Just to bring the betting market in. There's nobody else really close. Like DeAndre Hunter's on there, Buddy Hield, Tari Eason, but yeah, he's already a pretty lock solid favorite for sixth man of the year.
And he's shooting 49% from the field. Like that's
for a guy who's maybe 6 foot wet on a good day.
Yeah, crazy.
I know you're usually supposed to do that about weight and water shouldn't really impact your height, but you know, listen.
I did.
He's the wicked witch of the east. He shrinks with water, you know? Something like that. All right, well, listen, we're having a lot of fun. That's the takeaway from this kind of segment. A lot of guys that are giving us some joy. I think we could have hit on, like, probably four or five each. I know, you know, for me, I've talked a lot about Jalen Johnson as well. He was another one that was kind of honorable mention. But, you know, one guy who we will definitely want to make sure he's having fun here today is kind of give him a little extra stage to stand on, a little extra height to yell from the treetop. So, Mr. Gute, you want to get on that soapbox and dunk on us a little bit about defense here today?
I was about to say there won't be any dunking, just blocked shots of dunk attempts, which can be almost as fun as a dunk. Just if someone comes up and just winds it back and someone just meets him at the rim, it's like a what just happened moment. We'll save that for another day. So I was all like hot and bothered last week. And then my segment got cut short. I talked to my agent afterwards. We figured it out. Like it wasn't a big deal. So like this week I did a little more research. Just diving into the defensive statistics, you know, never not working, Head and Shoulders, not a sponsor of the podcast yet. But what I will say is everything I look at, I had a couple different things prepared. And I think I just need to talk for a second about Dyson Daniels. And I know it's been brought up before, and I know we've talked about it, but I don't think people appreciate to the degree in which he is playing defense this season. So usually, the league leader in steals per game hovers around 2. That's pretty damn good. He's sitting at about 3, maybe a little more than 3. I can't remember what it's at as of the last couple days. But that's, you know, 50% more than where we're typically sitting at.
It's a math guy.
If you look at what?
Said you're a math guy. 50%
I'm a math
more.
Guy. I love math. I love numbers. But not only that, if you talk about, if you bring deflections into it, so typically deflections, if you look at an average year, like the league leader will be in the high 3s, 3.7, 3.8, just shy of 4. And this was as of a couple days ago, I think, but he was sitting at almost 7 deflections per game, which is literally like, that's like hard to fathom. So if you combine steals and deflections, if we're just talking about how disruptive is this guy on defense, he is at least 50% greater than the usual league leader in steals plus deflections. A typical game, you'll have, a team will have 10 to 20 turnovers, something in that range, can be more or less depending on the game, but he's literally disrupting 10 possessions per game directly, and that's not diving into like the advanced stats and all the other stuff. But if you take that and apply it to like points, for example, everyone looks at points, everyone talks about points. You turn on the TV in the morning, Stephen A is talking about points, whatever. If you took steals and deflections and to the same degree in which a league leader is typically sitting at in points, around 30 points per game is typically where the league leader is sitting. And if someone was averaging 45, 50 points a game, it would literally be the talk of the town. They'd be the MVP. For a short while, James Harden back in 2018 had a stretch where he was averaging about that much. We were literally talking in terms of, I think he is like one of the greatest offensive players of all time. And I think at his peak, that's a fair comment. I just don't think we're giving him his flowers enough and fully understanding at what level he's defending. And I think if you look at the eye test, if you look at his highlights, if you watch some of his games, like, he's help defending, he's meeting guys at the rim blocking shots, he's taking the ball from people at the top of the key. If someone's at, top of the key passing to someone else on the other side of the three-point line, he's literally just picking that off. Like, he's playing against, like, eight-year-olds. Like, he does everything. So I think, obviously he's got to be, a leader, or at least in that top group as far as defensive player of the year. But I think we're trying to truly value defensive output. And offense is always a little more important. I will admit that, but he needs to be talked about more. He needs to kind of be in that higher circle versus like, oh, he's like a nice defender, he's like a nice player. I think he should really be up there, talked about. This is one of the best defensive seasons of all time so far. So that's my soapbox.
Do you guys know who's number two in deflections per game?
Wemby.
No.
Good guess.
We'll take two more guesses and then we'll move on.
Oh, I should know because I was looking at it. I don't know.
Jalen Williams.
No. Great, but no.
There's other players in the league other than Jalen Williams.
He's number two in steals.
Is it Suggs? It's Nikola Jokic.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Wow. Just with 4.4 a game, which just shows how insane he is of an NBA player, considering the offensive load, back-to-back close to 50-point games in the last two, and he's still out here getting his hands on balls in the passing lane.
Jokic is an interesting case study, because I look at him in all of these things, because like, as we were talking about him, like one of the best players of all time, how good is he on defense, how can we... look at that from a statistics perspective. And it was interesting because the first thing I looked at was defensive field goal percentage as the closest defender. What are people shooting against him? I know we talked about that. It was, higher than 50%, which isn't good. I remember I compared him to Rudy Gobert, who was really good, like 43%. I know there's lots of factors that go into that. But then when you look at the deflections, like you said, he's second in the league. Gobert at like four, whatever. Gobert is down at like one and a half. So it's interesting. You start to like paint this picture. It's like, how does he play defense, and like, what is more valuable? It's interesting, but yeah, it's not surprising from the perspective of like, just his hands are just little magnets. Like, he just gets his paws on everything.
Hey, great soapbox. Hey, let's get a quick little round of applause for Ryan. It's hard getting up there, putting yourself in that position. You're vulnerable to everybody, and listen, you did a great job.
We love defense. 10
disruptions. Ryan, I didn't know that. That is very, as an offensive guy, I'm quaking in my boots here. I wouldn't want to go against him.
I wonder if teams do avoid him. Like, I wonder how much of that goes into the game plan.
I mean, it's an interesting one, for sure. All right. Well, did some market research, got some feedback from the PR groups, did some research and really got some awesome feedback on our last draft. So the people have spoken, and I think we'll go back to another one and you know, I think we hit on some of it a bit earlier already. And by we, I mean me, stealing a little bit of the thunder and the Peyton Pritchard route. But going to do a little bit of a draft here of bench players in the NBA this year. So the criteria are they have to have played more than 50% of the games off the bench this year. That's it. Can go whichever way you want. No judgment on the players or their performer or why they are important to your team other than they're important to you. And we respect that. We'll make fun of you, though. So just quickly in terms of draft order, we'll do another quick little trivia because who doesn't love that? And we've been talking hustle stats with the loose balls. And I'm going to switch to the offensive side and talk about something a little bit different. We're going to talk big men, right? And talk about who leads the league in screen assists. So, rapid fire, who is...
Sabonis.
Okay, it's Brian's Sabonis. Got the first overall pick. Sabonis leads it at... Jokic is not in the top five.
What?
Jonas Valanciunas.
Not in the top five.
I didn't think so.
Ian? Give me a guess.
Vucevic.
No. So Nick Richards is number two, so I'll give myself the number two pick. Good job. Next guy
looking
is...
at the answers. That's great.
That's collusion.
I would have gotten
That's
it.
Great.
Next. One of them is on Alex's favorite team.
But Hartenstein hasn't played enough, has he?
It's per game.
Oh, per game.
Or is it Hartenstein?
All right, Ian's got the third. Next one is French.
Wembanyama.
No. The other French option. You can't guess again.
Michael, you got the fourth pick. I'll take
it. I'll give my pick to Michael.
Alex is going to go last.
Wait, are we doing four picks?
We're going to do four picks. Four picks. So,
oh,
Brian,
I thought we were putting together
a... You don't need to build out, or do you want to build out a starting five? We can build out a starting five. Let's build out a starting five.
Yeah,
so just to be clear, are we drafting five guys as a team, or are we drafting just any five guys?
Let's build a team. Let's play basketball games.
This changes everything.
Oh my God, my whole research, Alex. But
what's the alternative? You just want to put five names together?
I was just going to put together a bench, but like, let's do it.
Oh, I see. I thought it was going to be like, okay, these are the five guys, and we're pitting our five guys against the other team's five guys.
I thought it was the bench, but you know what? Let's do this. We're going to think on our feet.
Should we get a burger from Five Guys after? Just keep it. Probably. Keep talking about Five
Sponsorship.
Guys.
Sponsor, not a sponsor.
Yeah. Sponsor, not a sponsor. Sorry, guys.
Not
Five
not
Guys.
Yet.
So this,
five guys
this segment is
Five Guys.
Hey, there we go. So this is sponsored by Five Guys, great burgers, shakes, the peanuts. And with that, Brian, we are drafting five guys to play on a court together that are on the bench, and you have the first pick.
In hindsight, I don't think I wanted the first pick, but
too bad.
I'm going to do this anyways. Ian stole a little bit of my thunder. I didn't think he was going to be mentioned on the pod, but I'm going to take Scottie Pippen, not senior, but junior, and this is why. He's been... Are we saying why? We're probably just...
Yeah,
we're
give us a quick hitter.
I'll give you a quick hitter. I don't have the stats in front of me, but when this man starts, he's like a legit starting point guard in the NBA. He's put up 30-point games. He's put up triple-doubles, shoots the ball efficiently, can distribute the ball. He does a little bit of everything. If I'm building a team, I want a true point guard. Peyton Pritchard, sure, could have gone number one overall. He can distribute, but I'm looking for someone to orchestrate. You know, with bench players, you need someone to organize, and I think he's the best organizer.
Cool. Give me Peyton Pritchard. Already made the case. Moving on. Ian?
Yeah, that's the obvious pick. Good for you.
Hey, I'm a contrarian at heart, but... Got something. When there's good chalk sitting in front of you, you eat the chalk.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the correct pick. No offense to Brian, you're an idiot.
It obviously was not the correct pick, but it's right. You can go on.
All right. I am going to take going to go with a center. I'm going to take Naz Reid.
Oh. Great pick. Great pick.
Dang. Good pick, Ian.
You can skip my explanation. Speaks for himself. He's Naz Reid. I mean, let's move on.
Sixth man of the year.
I mean, his name's Naz. Absolutely.
Michael, over to you.
Wow. What? Do I go with my heart or do I go with wanting to beat you guys? I'm going to do both.
Smart man.
Io DeSumo, and you guys are like, why? But I think, not that I have his stats in front of me, but he's averaging 12.7 points a game, 3.8 rebounds, and 4.8 assists on 50% shooting. I think he's the heart and soul of my personal fandom of the Bulls, which I still can't watch. I think given more usage on offense, he was always stuck in the corner. And he can go for games where he's like 10 for 12. He just had his first triple-double the other day. I think this guy can play the point guard and the shooting guard. My favorite player in the league, personally. And maybe I'm a little biased.
That's what I support the pick. I support the pick. When he gets a bigger role, when like LaVine or Kobe are out, or last year when DeRozan was out, he's putting up huge numbers. It's a good pick.
Always.
All right. I am going to pick...
Back-to-back.
We're snaking it, baby. I'm going Caruso, because I'm not leaving home without him. Swiss Army knife, fantastic defender. And then with my second pick, I am going to take... Jared McCain of the 76ers. I think we got a rookie of the year on our hands. He's putting up 15 plus a game. When he starts, he's poking around the 20s and 30s. He's a sniper. I'll take him.
I'm going to go with DeAndre Hunter, because I do think he's probably a starter most of the time. He's fantastic, and he's like my power forward. And really quick sidebar, because I didn't get to say it earlier, if we're talking little guys who outperform their size, and we're talking 12 years ago fun players, J.J. Barea. I did just want to say that.
Yeah. So, love J.J.
But yeah, I'm going with DeAndre Hunter for my pick.
Michael, I don't think you should feel bad about Io. I was actually between Io and Naz Reid, so I felt like you did the solid there. ILL, right?
But Scottie Pippen Jr. just like, that was the word. That was awful. Like, that was trash.
I am going to compliment Naz with a young, sprightly guard who's not getting enough minutes on a regular basis. I'm going to take Amen Thompson.
Ooh.
He's been getting the minutes lately, but, he's really, really exciting. Great rebounder for a guard, too. Exciting stuff. He's not treated right on the Rockets. We're going to treat him right here.
So, I think you took the wrong Rocket. And I'm going to go with his bash buddy partner and take Tari Eason.
You love Tari Eason.
I think when he comes onto the court, obviously he's a little banged up right now. But I think that's why the Rockets, that depth rotation works. He is a one-man wrecking crew. Just 1 through 5 guards every position. Great rebounder. Great offensive rebounder. Just hustle statistics are all over the place. Decent passer. His plus minus this year is plus 70, right? Which I think from a bench unit perspective to come in and be able to kind of contribute winning minutes is huge. And I'm excited for that 1-4 pick and roll with him and Peyton Pritchard.
All right, I got two here. Let's see. All right. I need somebody at the rim. Somebody to, you know, pull it out and show everyone what he's working with. So I'm going to go with Onyeka Okongwu.
How does that have anything to do with somebody at the rim? I'm sorry, what?
Because he's blocking shots.
Naturally. He's using it to just swat away action at the
rim. Let's not overanalyze it. He's a shot blocker. He's a pick and roll lob at the rim. And I think, honestly, I think he deserves that starting role. I think he's a starting caliber player, and I think once he gets that opportunity, he's gonna explode. But I think he's a good talent. He's the rim protector. For the other pick, I am going to take. Can we get some quiet on the set? What's going on? I'll take Malik Monk.
Soon to be disqualified, but I think we'll allow it for now.
Oh, Brian, good pick.
Recently moved into that starter role, but we'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Great pick.
For me, I'm going. I'm really stuck between two guys here, but I'm gonna go with the guy that I think gives me a little bit more all around performance. Add a little additional front court size. I think maybe one of the more underrated players in the entire NBA, and that's Denny from Israel. Give me Denny Avdija.
Ibrahim.
He's obviously buried a little bit in the Portland, I would say, wilderness, from a team that is trying to figure out who they are. Kind of hard with both Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot and Simons and Jeremy Grant. But when he's on the court, he's great. Good passer, soft finish at the rim, extended three-point jump shot. Switch and play pretty much everything on defense. I love him next to Tari Eason. I think he's a guy that really complements the rest of my two other guys. Can play different styles, and yeah, give me Denny.
I love it. Happy Hanukkah to all our listeners coming up in a few weeks.
We love Denny. We love Denny. We sure do. Alrighty.
Pippen's taken.
Yeah, I know. I've got Amen Thompson and Naz Reid. The rest of you already are pretty set at point guard, so I think I'm going to wait there. And I think I'm going to focus on the forward position. And I'm going to take... I'm going to call him by his formal name. But he's the future Emirates Kia player of the game for the NBA Cup final, Mr. Robert Portis, at power forward. Bobby Portis recently shot 90% from the field and had like 30 points in a game that they won against the Eastern powerhouse Brooklyn Nets. So I feel like he's a pretty strong contributor. Also, he's just a morale guy. Like, everybody loves him, and I think that's really important.
He has one great scream per game. And that's really important to the morale. You know, really lets out that emotion.
No. Jacob, don't forget the eye bulge. He's good for a couple of those per game as well.
Yeah, 3-1 ratio of bulge to screen.
Yeah, he's like powering up his signature move.
I think they make special contacts for him just to get around the whole pupil. Pretty impressive. Ian, great pick. That was going to literally be my next pick. I'm between a couple of guys, but I'm going to fill out my backcourt. I'm surprised he hasn't even been talked about. Mr. Jordan Clarkson, Mr. Almost Sixth Man of the Year a couple years ago, gets buckets with Io giving him dishes. Io's assists just went up 4 a game in my starting five. I feel good about my offense. And he seems like he's a well-rounded player as well. So he's going to be my shooting guard.
All right. I am going to take... Santi Aldama of the Memphis Grizzlies. We're working with 13 points, 7.5 rebounds a game. And I need a little bit of size on the lineup. And then I'm going to also take... Trey Trey Murphy of the New Orleans Pelicans. We got a 3-and-D guy.
Is he playing from the bench?
Let's check it out.
I might be throwing a flag on that one.
That's fine. I got a lot of guys ready to go.
Like, how do you check this? There's got to be a good way to check this.
Game started.
He's only come 10. Off the bench twice this year.
That's an axe.
All right. Busted.
Back to the drawing board.
What is... Wait, hold on. We need to come up with a group punishment if anybody else does that again.
I want the punishment.
I mean, if you want to punish me...
Brian's gonna block your rim.
I don't even know why I try.
Cut the whole draft. I'll take Buddy Hield.
Nice.
Because he shoots the ball well. Back to you, Michael.
Alex, I wish you went. You didn't. Oh, that was gonna be my guy. So good pick. Thanks. Wow. So I've got my point guard, my shooting guard, and my power forward. And Brian, speaking of butts, I'm gonna go with Gershon Yabusele. And his thanks, Alex. His performance at the Olympics was inspiring. And now my team is huge, so I feel
really good about your team.
I feel good about this.
Who, I've lost track. Who's where are we? Ian?
I think that's me. Ian's up. It's me.
Yeah.
Okay. Before Commissioner Jacob gets mad at me, I counted the games. I'm taking Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, yeah, that's fair. He was also who I was going to take.
Yeah, this is the year. This is the year for Kuminga, as will be next year and the year after.
He's always becoming.
Guess he's 1 year away from being 1 year away, you know? He's right there. He's right on the precipice. I'm, like, acknowledging that this is a little bit cheating, but that's fine. He's played off the bench all year. And that's Devin Vassell. He, when right, is a top 75 player in the NBA. He's coming back. I'm expecting him to get back to form. Great mid-range game. Really good off the ball. Perfect complement to my ball-dominant backcourt partner in Peyton Pritchard. Good size around them. Like the offensive flow with the squad so far.
Jacob, I told you last week that if you rank somebody, you have to name everyone in front of them, so we're going to need you to rattle off 74 players right now.
Yeah, sorry. That'll be the episode next week. I'll just go through my top 75. You can all listen to me just rant and rave for an hour and a half soapbox.
Perfect.
All right, I got back-to-back here. I'm going to do something similar and take my boy, ugliest mofo in the league, Chris Middleton. He's come off the bench all year.
You're bad.
I mean, I can't and, be upset because I just did it.
Yeah, I was about to say, you did the same thing. And I am also going to take... Like, this just... I'm going to take TJ McConnell. I just love TJ McConnell. Like, he's just a disruptor. He does everything. We love small guys.
I love you. Stole him from me.
I'm surprised he fell this low, Brian.
I know. I thought you were going to take him. And I was like, if he's still sitting here, I'll take him.
Well, I was waiting on the point guard. I was going to take him like 3 rounds ago, but you guys all came out with guards so quickly that I thought maybe I could get some competitive advantage. But wow. Yeah, great pick. He's amazing.
Brian, just now that you've wrapped it out, just go ahead and summarize your squad for the listeners.
I honestly love my squad. I think this squad, like for a bench squad, this is top notch. So in the backcourt, I got Pippen Jr. and TJ McConnell. On the wings, I got Malik Monk and Chris Middleton. And then at the five, the big man, Onyeka Okongwu.
You don't have to say it like that.
Say that five times.
I think you might have the worst rebounding team in the history of the NBA. But other than that, I think you're great.
Team's good. Team looks good.
Yeah, man. I'm going to stay on brand and round mine off with Jay Huff. Like, just lean into the brand. Give me all 7 feet of Jay Huff. We're gonna run and gun, and he's gonna have a great time out there.
Oh man, you want?
We're never gonna get a sponsor at this rate.
You want all 7 feet?
All 7 feet. It's not a 6 foot sub. It's a 7 foot sub.
All right.
So just to wrap mine up, I have Peyton Pritchard, Tari Eason, Denny Avia, I can't pronounce his last name, Avija, Denny A, Devin Vassell, and Jay Huff.
Michael, who'd you take with your last pick?
Gershon Yabusele.
Oh, right. The Tushy. All right, fine. All right. Brian taking TJ is pretty upsetting. So I missed out on all my little white guys. I didn't see it going this way. But you know what? It's okay. We're lacking in little white guys. We're going to get in old guys. I'm going with Russell Westbrook as my true point guard.
I love that.
Gross.
So that gives me a backcourt of Russell Westbrook and Amen Thompson, Kuminga kind of on the wing, and then Bobby Portis and Naz Reid in the front court.
Okay. So I have to go with the center here, and I'm deciding between two, and then I'm just going to go with my heart. I think that I'm going to pick Jonas Valanciunas. He's almost 13 points a game, 8.1 rebounds, and he's good defender, big body. I'm going to say great pick and roll. So my five, and I will say I'm a little impressed with myself here. I'm going to go. It is Io at the point, Jordan Clarkson at the shooting guard, DeAndre Hunter at power forward, Gershon at the small forward, one of the, they can kind of split whatever they want to do, and then Valanciunas at the center. Good luck scoring on my team.
I like that you give your players the autonomy to play the positions they want to play.
I was going to say, they can decide what they want there. You know, I don't want to, I'm not going to put them in a box.
Yeah. All right, let me just briefly spot check that this guy's a bench player. Yeah, give me Daniel Gafford at the center.
Yeah, I like it.
Great pick.
Okay, so my roster is, I got Caruso, Jared McCain, Buddy Hield, Santi Aldama, and Danny Gafford.
All right. Listen, another great draft. I think the power rankings will take a quick listener power poll for 2 through 5, knowing that my team is the best out of everybody's, and then we'll proceed forward from there. But you know, listen, I think it was a nice activity to acknowledge the some of the off the bench dudes, the hard workers, the grit and grind guys of the NBA. You know, give them
the
their flowers,
vassals
give them,
of the league,
give them their love.
I agree.
Listen, another great below the rim. Clearly, we're sharing our perspectives from a different angle than much of the NBA media. I appreciate us staying on brand. I think we'll have a lot of good things to talk about after the NBA Cup, and looking forward to getting back together next week, fellas. Thanks all.